is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And I am Jeff Smith, the Rogue announcer here on Rogue Talk. And this is Rogue Talk for June 8th, 2018. Happy to be back with you again. 2 weeks in a row. I'm trying to break a record here this year, but been a pretty busy year for me this year. My work has been extra busy and all kinds of other family things, and so I don't like to miss shows, but I'm happy to get two in a row here. Unfortunately for those of you, which include myself, I probably said the same thing last week, but for those of you that like the interview shows, I don't have an interview for you today, but we do have some coming up, including we will, in the next couple of weeks, we will do a show that's all about the National Rooster Crowing Competition and the Rooster Crow Weekend. So we're going to get somebody in here to talk about Rooster Crow and the parade and some of the changes that have been made. And so we'll be dealing with that. And we've got some other interviews we're lining up. But today we're going to have another kind of a potpourri show. We're going to get to one subject that I tried to get to last week. And again, this is just for fun for me, something I enjoy. We're going to talk a little bit about the NBA. And the finals, of course, continue tonight. In fact, they could end tonight if the Golden State Warriors can beat the Cavaliers tonight. They will sweep the series and win the championship. But we're not going to talk so much about the current championship going on. But we will. I'd like to talk a little bit about the rules of the game and how the NBA differs and things that I think would make the game better. I quit watching the NBA years ago, really not too long after the Michael Jordan era, and there's a lot of reasons for that. I recently got back into the NBA. My hometown team is the Golden State Warriors. I grew up in Northern California, in the North Bay area, and mainly because of Steph Curry. I'm a smaller guy. When I played basketball, I was a guard. I was a terrible shooter, which made me not the greatest of point guards. I had to focus more on my defense and on my ball handling because I couldn't shoot to save my life. I'm actually a much better shooter now than I was then. But so a guy like Steph Curry was fun to watch when I first saw him as the Warriors were starting to become a more competitive team, and just watching his skills was interesting to me and got me back into the NBA. But I don't know how much longer I'm going to hang around based on just the frustration of watching the games with the way that they're reffed. And I'm not saying the refereeing is bad. I'm saying the league has a certain emphasis on how the game is to be refereed. They have rules that change the way the game is played, and I'd like to see them fix some of the things that I think are wrong with that. And so I want to talk about that. So those of you that don't like sports, when I get to that, you're welcome to tune out. But I hope you don't, because I'm going to have a. I think it'll be an interesting conversation. If you know anything about basketball, you may agree with some of my points and you may disagree with some. But before we do that, I want to take a look at, I thought I'd go through a few headlines that I kind of picked randomly and give you my thoughts on some of these stories. If you'd like to call in, I'd love to hear your thoughts on anything you want to talk about, any of the stories I'm going to talk about today, or anything else. Maybe you know of something going on in the community that you'd like to get out there. Maybe there's somebody I should have on the show, and you'd like to tell me why I should have that person on the show. I'd love to hear from you. And you can call in at 541-299-0498. 541-299-0498. Or you can send me an email to feedback@943thebridge.com. Once again, that's feedback@943thebridge.com. rogue-talk.com and put Rogue Talk on the subject line, and those emails come directly to me. Rogue Talk, two words, not like a web address. So make sure you put the space in there, and those will come right into my inbox. So let's take a look at some of the top stories. Now, the first story that that caught my eye, and we, as a lot of you know, I guessed on Pastor Gigline's show Once for All on Friday mornings. I guessed on Fridays when we talk about news stories. And if we have a show next Friday, we will probably talk about this one. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because this is the more in-depth discussion is more suited for the Friday Once for All show. Now, his wife is due any day now to have a baby. So things could change, and maybe if we don't get to do it on Once for All, I will spend some time on it maybe next week a little bit more, because it's a story that, because I'm a sports fan, that I find interesting. And this comes out of Connecticut, and in the Connecticut High School State Track and Field Championships. And the reason this one kind of caught my eye was because I was recently at the Oregon State Track and Field Championships. Of course, as my regular listeners know, the Rogue Talk mascot, otherwise known as my son Cameron, competed at the state meet in Oregon. So I've kind of, obviously, when I see things related to not just sports, but track and field more specifically, it catches my eye. But in Connecticut, their high school state championship, there was a meet, in two events, the 100 meter and the 200 meter, they had two transgender competitors in the female races, meaning they're biological boys that have decided that they're girls and they're competing as girls. And in the 100 meters, the two transgender students finished first and second. And in the 200 meters, one of those two students finished first in the 200. And the reason it catches my eye is there's a lot of talk about civil rights when it comes to LGBT issues and discrimination. And of course, as anybody would, I want to be sensitive to those issues. However, I don't think that social justice or social constructs that we've made to accommodate the way people feel, I'm not trying to mischaracterize anything. I'm just trying to put it in the best words that I can. We can't ignore biology, and that's become all too common, and it needs to stop. Political correctness is going to ruin this country. There's nothing to be gained from ignoring the biology and punishing the biological girls in this instance that have trained just as hard and maybe harder than these two. And I'm going to say boys, because I don't know that either one has had any kind of surgery. I mean, not that that would make them a girl, but frankly, you're what gender you're born with determines quite a bit about your athletic ability and your abilities in other categories. I mean, there's things that women are vastly better at than men, and vice versa. And athletics is one where the men dominate. There's lots of reasons for that are, you know, chemical, genetic, all kinds of things. And so I'm sad to see the political correctness run amok and allow this to happen. And it's not an easy subject. I mean, it's because it creates a whole new class of people that didn't exist before. But again, I don't think it's fair to punish the girls because it's just not, they're not competing on an equal level, and I'll leave it at that. So again, I'm not going to get any deeper into that. Hopefully we'll be able to cover that on Once for All. But I spotted that and thought it was interesting, and not sure if everybody was going to hear about that one. So I thought I would touch on that. And again, I would love to hear, you know, what your thoughts on that are. You know, it's not an easy thing because you don't want to feel like you're discriminating, but at the same time, it's not fair to the other competitors to let two individuals who are, again, they're boys. They want to be girls. They may be transitioning to be girls, but even if they go through all the process to appear as women and to live their lives as women, can they really be the same? Because I don't think so. I think there's so much to our makeup that's more than just your physical appearance, and you know, and in even deforming your physical appearance. So it's a pretty extensive subject. We're not going to get into that today, but I thought it was an interesting story. So the next one that kind of caught my eye a little bit, and it's kind of laughable because this has been going on for forever and ever. And Paul Manafort, who was an advisor to the president back during the campaign, and he was already indicted by the special counsel, Robert Mueller, for some things that he did well before he was involved with the Trump campaign. He's been indicted again on some additional charges, and apparently he tried to tamper with some witnesses. He tried to influence witnesses in his case against him in the previous case that he's already been indicted for, and he did this through using messaging apps that have encryption, hoping that he would get away with this. This guy has been dirty from the get-go. Whether he's involved in some nefarious way with the Russians, which is part of what's being is part of this indictment. There's a Russian partner of his that's part of the indictment. It really doesn't matter. He's been kind of a shady character for a long, long time on the political scene, and what happens to Paul Manafort really doesn't matter to me, and it really doesn't matter to our government per se. I'm not sure why the special counsel is continuing along these lines. I mean, they've made this Russian connection, but the original charges had nothing to do with the whole Russian collusion idea or anything like that. You know, they were financial, you know, fraud charges, money laundering charges. They had nothing to do with Russia or the Russian influence on the elections, which is supposed to be what the special counsel is working on. But the reason I chuckle about the whole thing, I mean, I'm sorry for Manafort's family that, you know, he's continuing to behave badly, but it shows us that we've had so many leaks coming out of the special investigation, and we've had some indictments. We've had some people that have had to plead to charges because maybe they were being threatened with other charges. In the case of, you know, there's, well, I won't get too deep into that. But anyhow, the thing that hasn't happened is with all of the leaks that there's been, and there's been many, and some of them may be criminal leaks, which hopefully that somewhere along the line they'll get to the bottom of those, and people maybe will be charged with those leaks, because between the Justice Department and the FBI and even the CIA, there's been some criminal leaks. But to this point, and it's gone on for more than a year, there's nothing to show that the initial reason for the investigation, there's no facts that point to any of it. There's no facts of Russian collusion with anybody in the Trump campaign, including the president himself. There's actually very little evidence that the Russians tampered with the election. Now, before you go, oh, I've heard all these stories. Yes, you've heard stories, but the influence of what has happened has been minimal to none. The Facebook ads were, you know, under, I believe they were less than $200,000 worth of ads. You're not going to reach enough people with that to make any kind of difference. And as one of the vice presidents at Facebook has already stated, a lot of those ads were paid for and taken out after the election, which would have no influence on the election itself. And some of the ads were in favor of Trump, and actually probably more of them were, but some of them were in favor of Hillary Clinton. So the idea that these Facebook ads were any kind of, you know, help to Trump getting elected is just a smokescreen. And there's been zero evidence of any kind of tampering and any kind of collusion with the Russians to tamper with the election. In fact, the claim that they used to go after one of the Trump people was that he had knowledge of some of the emails that were stolen from the DNC. Well, we don't even know that those emails were actually stolen, because the DNC would not turn over their servers to the Justice Department or to the FBI. So those, they've never been investigated by the government. They've been looked at by a private firm, and there's some Clinton connections and other things to that private firm. So it's not really, you know, it's not really a good source. And until the government gets to look at those, we don't even know that actually happened. So, going back to the Manafort story, the amusing thing to me is there's still nothing against the president, yet the media just keeps pushing the story and pushing the story. They're obsessed with bringing down the president. And look, if you listen to me a little bit here, but you listen to me on Once for All on Fridays, I'm not a big fan of the president, but I'm going to give him credit when credit is due, and I'm going to be hard on him when I think he's doing something I don't like. And that includes the tariffs. I think the tariffs are a stupid idea. If, you know, I thought maybe that, you know, initially they were a good leveraging tool against the Chinese, but now he's expanded them to countries like Canada. Well, there's no reason to be in a trade war with Canada. But it's kind of a ridiculous story. Manafort's a guy that I think deserves to be taken down, but it really has very little to do with the Trump administration. But it's going to be a top headline because the media, frankly, doesn't like our president, and I guess they're entitled to that. We just maybe should quit calling them media. So I think that's all we're going to hit here in this first break. I'll take a break and we'll come back with more Rogue Talk. Don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Fox News contributor and syndicated columnist Charles Krauthammer says he has only a few weeks to live because of an aggressive form of cancer. Krauthammer disclosed his doctor's prognosis in a letter released Friday to colleagues, friends, and viewers. Krauthammer says he will, quote, leave this life with no regrets, unquote. We thought we knew them. Anthony Bourdain was the brash, globe-trotting chef. Kate Spade, the innovative and ebullient designer. The idea that people who seem to have such full and fulfilling lives would take their own is a tragic reminder that celebrities who feel more familiar to us than some of our friends and neighbors are at the same time total strangers. On Wall Street, the Dow by 75 points to 25,316. The Nasdaq rose 10. The S&P advanced 9. Crude oil down 21 cents to $65.74 a barrel. More details at srnnews.com.
Keeping you informed, giving you the good news. You're listening to 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
With us here in sports, I'm Patrick Foss. Kevin Durant scored a career playoff high 43 points, draining a long three-pointer in the final minute to lead the Golden State Warriors to a 110-102 win at Cleveland last night and a commanding 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals. No team has ever come back from an 0-3 deficit to win. In fact, teams that have fallen behind 0-3 in the playoffs are 0-131. Golden State will be looking to clinch their second straight championship Friday when the series resumes in Cleveland. It's Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final this evening as Washington skates at Vegas. Capitals coach Barry Trotz says despite a 3-1 series lead for his team, he knows closing things out at Vegas won't be easy.
They're great in their building. We're not scared of their building. We've proved it that we're very good on the road. If we play our best game, then we give ourselves a chance. So we're going to try to do that.
A Game 6 would be Sunday night back in Washington. This is Esser in Sports. Italy action saw Washington beat Tampa Bay 11-2. Rays starting pitcher Johnny Vetters, who lasted just a third of an inning, giving up 5 runs, says he never gave his team a chance.
It was disappointing, you know. Didn't do my job today. Put my team in a 5-0 hole in the first inning, and it's tough to come back from.
The Orioles beat the Mets 1-0. It was the Indians over the Brewers 3-1. In the American League, New York went to 13 innings to beat Toronto 3-0. Boston was a 7-1 winner over Detroit. The Red Sox remained 1 game ahead of the Yankees for the East lead. Houston topped Seattle 7-5. It was Texas 8-2 over Oakland. Chicago 5, Minnesota 2, Los Angeles 4, Kansas City 3. In the National League, Jason Hayward hit a game-ending grand slam as Chicago beat Philadelphia 7-5. It was San Diego 3, Atlanta 1, San Francisco 5-4 over Arizona in 10 innings, Pittsburgh 11, Los Angeles 9, Colorado 6, Cincinnati 3, Miami 11, St. Louis 3. Red Shane Dienst, the Hall of Fame second baseman who batted the St. Louis Cardinals to 2 pennants in a World Series championship, died Wednesday at the age of 95. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
Back to Road Talk, and a couple more headlines I want to get to before I punish you with my in-depth NBA analysis. Another thing that's been in the news recently, including a breaking story today, we've had a couple of high-profile suicides in the news. Kate Spade, who is a designer that has her own label of I believe mostly women's fashion purses and such things. I'm not an expert on Kate Spade, but I've heard of her. And Anthony Bourdain, you know what? We're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll get all of this in the third part of the show. I apologize, but I've got something I got to take care of, and I will be right back.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Fox News contributor and syndicated columnist Charles Krauthammer says he has only a few weeks to live because of an aggressive form of cancer. Krauthammer disclosed his doctor's prognosis in a letter released Friday to colleagues, friends, and viewers. Krauthammer says he will, quote, leave this life with no regrets, unquote. We thought we knew them. Anthony Bourdain was the brash, globe-trotting chef, Kate Spade the innovative and ebullient designer. The idea that people who seem to have such full and fulfilling lives would take their own is a tragic reminder that celebrities who feel more familiar to us than some of our friends and neighbors are at the same time total strangers. On Wall Street, the Dow by 75 points to 25,316. The Nasdaq rose 10. The S&P advanced 9. Crude oil down 21 cents to $65.74 a barrel. More details at srnnews.com.
Bringing you Rogue River's weather forecast at the top of every hour, this is meteorologist Ann Holliday with 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Okay. Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
Yeah, I have trouble with my phone.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
With the SRN News Business Brief, I'm Dennis Crowley. The Federal Reserve says Americans increased their borrowing in April at the slowest pace in 7 months, with activity held back by a large slowdown in the category that covers auto and student loans. The report says consumer debt rose by $9.3 billion in April after a gain of $12.3 billion in March. The Fed also says increased home prices boosted U.S. household net worth 1% in the January to March quarter to crack $100 trillion for the first time. The Federal Reserve says total home values rose $500 billion, offsetting a decline in stock portfolios of $400 billion. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average picked up 95 points. With business, I'm Dennis Crowley.
I am supporting KRRC with my prayers and treasure for the very reason I listen to 943 The Bridge. Christian radio gives me on-demand Bible studies daily, plus inspirational and encouraging music, plus rest from the woes and evil of the temporal world. It keeps me focused on Jesus' promises given to all on the cross and by his resurrection.
Visit 943thebridge.com. Click on Donate to help us out today.
Talk, and I had to take a second break there. We'll finish the show in this last segment, but had a phone call that I had to take, and most of you probably know we're not a huge operation here at 94.3 The Bridge, so I don't have any way to get my secretary to take the call or to do anything like that, but that was a fairly important one. And then you could probably hear me taking the call in the back because I forgot to turn off the microphone, but that's what happens when things come up unexpectedly during a live show. So I'm back with you now, and I started to mention in the news the suicides of both Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain. And the only reason I wanted to bring this up is, well, a couple of reasons. First of all, a lot of times what happens when celebrities, people that people know, whether it's politicians or celebrities or people of that sort, there tends to be an uptick in suicides. And it's something I don't quite understand on one level. On another level, I do. Just the talk about a suicide is enough to get someone that may be depressed, maybe thinking about suicide. It kind of gets it triggers their mind to think about it again. And in a way, when it's a celebrity, it may give them somewhat of a green light that, well, if it's okay for this famous person, then it's okay for me. If you're someone that has that kind of depression, or you know someone that has that kind of depression, you know, get the help, because this kind of a thing shouldn't be triggering anybody. And that's kind of really where I wanted to go with this story, and I won't spend a whole lot of time on this, but I've never understood, and I've made this point a couple of times in conversations with people, and you know, on Facebook, I've put this out there a couple of times. I don't understand the obsession we have with celebrity. I mean, and again, on kind of a superficial basis, I do, but I mean, if you scroll through your Facebook feed today, you're going to see one after another of your friends either sharing the story of Anthony Bourdain or Kate Spade, or news organizations that you happen to follow putting their news stories up. And I frankly don't I understand why they think they need to report on it. In fact, I was listening to the Daily Wire's Ben Shapiro, and he was talking about this, and he's considering a change to the way his Daily Wire news source, the way he reports these things on the Daily Wire. He did this with the school shootings. He will no longer publish the names or the pictures of the shooters because of the encouragement that it gives people that do those things. It gives other people who might be thinking of doing that, it gives them some encouragement, because part of what they're looking for is the notoriety. They're looking for the attention on a more primal scale, that they crave the attention, even if it's negative attention. We see this with battered woman syndrome. The women are the sickness that they've been dragged into, they don't go there willingly, obviously, is such that they get in this habit of they crave attention so much that they're willing to look past the fact that they're being abused. And I know that's an oversimplification of it, and I'm not getting into discussing that syndrome, but it's the same kind of thing. These shooters want the attention so badly. They don't care if it's negative attention. They want to be noticed. And so the same thing with the suicides. It's a sickness, and there's different reasons that people commit suicide, and they're all related to types of depression, but there are different types of depression. There's different reasons. Some of them are genetic. Some people are genetically more apt to fall into depression. There's chemical imbalances. There's psychological problems. So it's not an easy issue. But again, going back to, what the Daily Wire is considering doing is to not publicize these events, because unfortunately it leads to kind of a chain reaction. But the part that bothers me about this and seeing all these people sharing this and they're devastated that this person is gone. And I don't mean to minimize anything. I feel sorry for anybody's family when there's a suicide or when someone's killed tragically, or just when people die of natural causes. Nobody wants to lose a loved one. So I feel for any family that is dealing with a loss. However, the point that I've made in the past is I don't know these people. Why would I be so caught up in Anthony Bourdain committing suicide any more than I would be if it was a member of my own family? I don't do a good enough job of keeping up with the issues in my own circle, in my own family, in my own circle of friends. I don't always keep up on some of the issues going on with those people. Why do I want to waste time being so tied up in what celebrities do? And again, it's not that I don't value their lives. I value all human life. But man, if I'm not putting enough time in on my own friends and my own family, why should I get myself caught up into what's happening with a celebrity or a politician? And the reason that this one kind of bugs me is I don't care what other people do. If you want to worship celebrity, all go for it. I like to separate myself from it. I love to watch Steph Curry play basketball, as I mentioned before. I don't agree with his politics and some of his stands on some of the issues with the national anthem, for instance, and stuff like that. But I don't care what he thinks about those things. I just want to watch him play basketball. I don't get angry with him when he says things that I disagree with. There's times where some of these players I wish would just be quiet about it. But ultimately, it's not something to get angry about. I'm not going to take the Laura Ingraham approach and say, oh, shut up and dribble. I just don't care, and I don't know why she has to care. If you don't like their opinion, then then counteract that opinion. Give the opinion that makes theirs look foolish, but you don't have to call them out specifically. They can have their opinions. It's fine. The coach of the Warriors, you know, Steve Kerr, made some pretty hypocritical statements recently when he was talking about the NFL. I don't mind talking about it a little bit, but I'm not going to attack the guy. I mean, I'll point out the fact that, you know, hey, your league has that exact same rule that the NFL is going to be enforcing, and it actually works quite well, but I don't care. You know, Steve Kerr can say whatever he wants. As long as he does a good job coaching my Warriors to a championship, I'm happy. That's great. But you can take it a step further. Look at the last two presidents of the United States. President Barack Obama was, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but he was really an empty suit when he came into the presidency. He had done very little. He hadn't even finished a full term as a senator. And when he was a state senator in Illinois, he voted present most of the time. It was almost rare for him to actually vote on some of the issues. And so the reason I'm saying this, again, I'm not putting him down. It is what it is. He got elected, and I was happy that maybe we had a chance to help with the racial divide in the country by having a black president. Unfortunately, it seemed to work in the opposite. I don't think it's gotten any better since he's left office. But what I'm saying about why I'm bringing up Obama and Trump, and I'll get to Trump in a second, is it was a cult of personality with Obama. He literally was elected on one speech that he gave at the Democratic National Convention, and it was a scripted speech. Now, he may have wrote it. I don't know who wrote it. And he's a very eloquent speaker. And, you know, the social politics, the social identity politics of the Democrat Party especially, I can completely understand why they latched on to him, and it worked out for them. He was a two-term president, but he was a cult of personality, and you'll have people that, you know, they almost are to the level of worshiping him because they won't admit any of the shortcomings of his administration. And I'm not going to go into all of that. I'm not getting into that story, but they elected him because he was a celebrity of sorts, and he became a bigger celebrity as the president. And that bothers me. And it bothered me even more because that's part of what happened with the election of Trump. I voted for President Trump, but I don't call myself a Trump supporter. You weren't going to catch me out stumping for the president. He's a man that I don't think a lot of on a moral basis, but for me, I don't want to say a lesser of two evils. That may be a little hyperbolic, but it was based on a few values that I have that I felt like he was going to do a better job of upholding, and that's it. That's what it. Now, I think he's actually done a better job than I expected. I'm sure the liberals disagree. They don't like his policies. I think some of the policies are working out quite well. But what bothered me about his election was there was that same cult of personality, because he was a tough talker and he's very transparent. You know, he gets called a liar a lot, and I really don't see it. In fact, I see someone that's a clumsy speaker, but you know where he stands. He'll tell you exactly what he's thinking. He tweets it most of the time. But there was kind of a core of his supporters that were, you know, MAGA, 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 you know, we're, you know, ride or die with this guy. And the thing I like about being a conservative and about what, and I even hate to even say the Republican Party, because they've been kind of a lousy party for a long time, but they have generally been the party that holds to the traditions and the morals that I like to, you know, ascribe to. But the thing about I like about conservatism and about our Constitution and being a constitutional conservative is we're a country of laws. We're not a country of men, or at least we're not supposed to be. And so this cult of personality that was part of what got Trump into office, and Obama as well, but I already talked about him. It's a little disturbing to me because I had never seen that before on the Republican side, at least not to the level of what Trump, you know, counted on for part of his base was this again. And he's a celebrity. He was a well-known businessman. He had a very successful reality show. So he's a TV star. Now, the funny thing is, we hear a lot of people, oh, he's the reality star president. And I got news for you. President Obama was as big of a reality star president as President Trump is. Now, his reality show started when he was elected, where Trump's started before he was elected. But don't fool yourself. He knew just as well as Reagan did how important the TV cameras are and how important, you know, being out in front all of the time was to a successful presidency, at least successful in that he was reelected and he served two terms. And Trump knows the same stuff. And so, again, that story kind of stands out to me, not so much for the suicide issue, although I think that's a serious issue that I'm not going to get into today, but more so the celebrity worship that this country suffers from. I think it's as bad, or at least almost as bad, as what I mentioned earlier about the PC culture, the political correctness that is destroying the country, in my opinion. This worship of celebrity, I think, is just as bad. I really think it's a problem that it starts at home. You know, you've got to raise your kids in such a way that they're not sucked into celebrity worship and that kind of thing. And I see it with both of the last two presidents, and it frankly is something I'm not comfortable with, and I hope that maybe we can move in another direction. So that's it for the news stories I wanted to kind of go through. Now we can get to the one that I really want to talk about, and hopefully we don't lose some of you there. But for those that are still hanging around, I'll give you the number one more time. 541-299-0498. And we're going to talk about the NBA a little bit. Of course, my Golden State Warriors are going to close out the series tonight. They're going to beat the Cavs. And I'm not taking any bets on that because you can never count out LeBron James, although he had a monster night and their team still lost. And so before I get into some of the rules of the game that I think are messing with the professional version of the game, I posted something on Facebook about Kevin Durant and LeBron James and Steph Curry, and the Cav fans are just looking for something, some ray of hope they can hang on to, because their team is just not, they're just not up to the task of beating the Warriors. And frankly, they weren't the best team in the East, but they played the best in the playoffs, or at least well enough to get to the finals. But they're just looking for something to cling on to. And of course, Kevin Durant, we call him KD, of course, had a monster game in game 3 and, you know, kind of put the team on his back, so to speak. But it doesn't mean that he's the only reason they won the game. That, you know, basketball is a team sport. And in fact, one of our former coaches at Rogue River that is now coaching over in Eagle Point, he made a good point in the comment section of the post that I put up, was that there's team ball and there's hero ball. Hero ball is often what LeBron James has to play. Now, don't get me wrong, LeBron James is arguably the best or one of the best two or three players that's ever played the game. And he is constantly high in assists, which is part of playing a team game. So I'm not taking anything away from LeBron's skill and even his ability to play team basketball. But what the Cavaliers don't have is another option. When the game's on the line, they pretty much have to lean on LeBron because none of their other stars, if you want to call them that, although I think Kevin Love is really the only one that is, I would consider a star of the league, other than LeBron on the Cavalier team. But they rely on hero ball. They rely on LeBron to get it done. And when he can't get it done, they lose. On the other hand, Kevin Durant had a great game. Steph Curry had a lousy game three, at least offensively. But because the Warriors have a more of a team setup to their strategy, they don't need Steph Curry to play hero ball to win the game. In fact, he can have an awful game. Kevin Durant stepped up. To a certain extent, Klay Thompson stepped up, although not as much as he usually does. JaVale McGee stepped up. I mean, I know half of you are going, who the heck is JaVale McGee? And so it's really a concept of team, of playing a team sport as a team, and the Warriors won that game, not just because of Kevin Durant, although, you know, I think he had 42 points. That's a great game, obviously. But he didn't score all 101 points. So that's the difference in what's happening right now. But watching basketball for the last couple of years since I've gotten back into watching it, the NBA is a terrible game to watch, I have to say. I much prefer, as a basketball fan, I much to prefer watching college basketball for a lot of reasons. So one of the first things I think that the NBA needs to do, and I just got Mike in the truck letting me know Durant had 43 of their 110 points. So, yes, he was a huge factor, but again, somebody else scored those other points, and it wasn't Kevin Durant. But anyhow, let's look at some of these rules that I think would help make the game more watchable, as far as I'm concerned. The NBA, to me, is almost unwatchable. It's fun to watch the stars of the league because they have amazing talent, but a lot of the rules don't encourage a game that flows well. They don't encourage a game that is a team game. And so the first rule I wish is a rule that exists right now, but they don't enforce it, and I really wish they would, is the flop rule. Now, what's the flop rule? The flop rule is if you are not fouled, or even if you may be fouled, but you embellish to a great extent the severity of the foul against you or the non-foul against you, there is a rule that they can be penalized for that, and they don't enforce it. And I really wish they would enforce it. And believe me, this includes people on the team that I root for, the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry has learned, and he's probably better at it than some of the others I'm going to mention, but it's fairly obvious when he takes a dive, so to speak. He'll shoot a three-pointer, and he will make it look like he was fouled, or he'll make it look like the foul was worse than it was. Because let's face it, they don't call every single foul that they see or that even happens, for that matter. But you got guys like, well, there's a couple of guys just on Houston, on the Houston Rockets alone, you know, Harden and Chris Paul. They're notorious floppers. They've got this habit of throwing their head back, you know, trying to make it look worse than it was. There's actually more guys on that team that do the same thing. So I almost think it's a matter of coaching at that point. You know, it's a strategy, and it often pays off. And of course, you know, James Harden and Chris Paul are good free throw shooters, so if they can get themselves to the line more, they're going to get more points. But I think it's a rule they need to enforce. The game is ugly when it happens. Even as strong as LeBron James is, he's guilty of flopping. Now, mentioning LeBron James, it brings me to another kind of related aspect to the flop rule, which I really think they need to enforce. They really need to crack down on it. It's just not fun to watch, It's really cheating, I mean, is what it is, and they don't enforce it, so it bugs me because I don't like cheating. But it brings me also to the whining and the complaining of the players, of the coaches. Every single time the whistle blows, somebody's throwing their hands up, they're crying about something, they're screaming, and nobody's worse at this than Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors. Again, my team. And he has plenty of technicals to show for it, technical fouls to show for it, but he, as even the announcers mentioned, and I don't usually agree with the national TV announcers, but even they've pointed out that the line to cross is different for certain players. Players that cry all the time, like Draymond, like LeBron James, even Chris Paul, with, you know, that I mentioned before, their line is in a different place than the other players. And they need to crack down on it. And what I mean by cracking down on it is, you know, when I've been involved with youth sports, at the beginning of a season, they may pick one or two rules that they think need some shoring up. And they say, look, we're going to call these two rules much tighter than we have in the past. And, you know, we want to make these rules, you know, we want you to pay attention to them. So in the preseason or the early part of a season, you get a lot of, you know, one of the rules, and I'm going to bring this back to the NBA because this is another one that I wrote down. One of the rules they like to do that with is what they call the two hands rule. You know, is the minute, what the way they'll call it is the second that you've got two hands on another player, that's a foul. Immediately the whistle blows. You can touch one another in basketball. I mean, it's technically, I guess you could call any of that as a foul, but I mean, there has to be some, you know, realistic, you know, boundaries. But I like the two-hand rule, and they'll usually, you know, every couple of seasons, they say, okay, we're going to crack down on the two-hand rule. I would love to see the two-hand rule instituted into the NBA, and the reason is because one of the things that drives me nuts with the NBA is the amount of grabbing and holding, especially when they set screens. They need to crack down on illegal screens, but they need to define it more, you know, there needs to be stricter definitions of what that means. Because one of the things they get away with on the screening is the grabbing and the holding. And another place where I've seen the grabbing and the holding is away from the ball, not with screening, but just with guarding. The Utah Jazz had some pretty good success against the Warriors this year because they were constantly grabbing and holding, especially the two guards for the Warriors, Curry and Thompson. And it's just a way of not letting them get to their spots. It's a way of wearing them down. There was one point in the season where Curry was bandaged up from all of the scratches on his body from being grabbed and held. And so all of that need, I think, should be cleaned up. You don't see any of this in the other levels from college on down because they call things that are fouls. They actually call them as fouls. And again, I'm not putting the referees down. This is the NBA's philosophy is where this comes from. And so that's one that they should crack down. I think they should institute an interference rule similar to what they have in hockey. It would be hard to define and it would be hard to enforce precisely, but it's something I think they could look at. We see this coming up the court. You know, the center's always the slow guy getting up, and he always gets used as a moving screen by the guards, and I hate to see that. There's some other things I'm going to run out of time to get to today, but I thought it would be a fun discussion to look at some of the rules that I think make the NBA really not as fun to watch as college basketball or even high school basketball. I announce high school basketball and I love doing it. So hope that was a fun discussion for you. Sorry none of you felt the need to call in and challenge me, but we'll be back next week. And until then, be good to one another because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.